they threw dust on the hat. Okay? In this aspect, the dust on the hat represents to be buried under the ground. Now, guys, we're in big trouble. We're going to die. That's what the dust on the head there. These people have been under the dust. They've been like in a grave for 70 years. And he's telling them, shake the dust off. You're going home. That's the promise. You're not going home. You're going back. Notice here. And loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. Now, what was on their neck? They had an iron collar around their neck for 70 years. He says, it's time to take it off. You're not going to be a captive anymore. You're going back home to Jerusalem. That's what the whole verse here has to deal with. Let's take a look at verse 3. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Now notice here, you sold yourselves for naught. Guys, this is so apropos for what's going on in our country today. There's so many people selling out the great idea of America for money. They're selling it out for bribery. They're selling it out to foreigners. They're selling everything out. Everything, because they think they can keep what they're selling it out for. The children of Israel went ahead and sold themselves to Baalism. They sold themselves to a false religion because they could be liberated from the Word of God. And it was for nothing. For nothing, because they went into captivity for 70 years. They had no defense against the enemy. Zero. It was for nothing. And they spent 70 years in captivity. Johnny.
What you just said made me think of Adam and Eve and eating of the tree.
Yeah.
So people are selling out America and not realizing that, you know, they already have it great here, but by doing what they're doing, they'll lose it all.
Yeah. You want a fun Bible study? Study what powers Adam and Eve had before they fell. And they sold it for a piece of fruit. And look at all the misery that's come from since then. And that's what has happened here. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught. You didn't profit from what you sold yourself for. They gave everything that they could have, and they lost it all. Everything. And Jerusalem was totally destroyed. And it says, and ye shall be redeemed without money. How about that? There are some redemption guys that deal with money. All right? But in this case, money was not going to buy their freedom. Money was not going to bring them back to where they were before. The only thing God was going to buy back with was his own precious blood at the cross. I'll buy you back, but it's going to be with my blood. That's essentially what the verse is saying here. Verse 4. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. Now notice right after the word there, you have a semicolon. Because if you read it as one whole verse without the semicolon, you get the idea that they were in Egypt and they were attacked by the Syrians in Egypt. And that's not what happened. So I went ahead and ran the references for Assyrians to see when they attacked Israel. And it was like in the First Kings. Okay? A little difference. So, when it says here, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. Okay, we know that was for the 430 years that they were sojourning, the 400 years in Egypt. When God redeemed them with the Passover, that's the time that he married the nation of Israel. So he's reminding them, guys, I took you up. I redeemed you with my blood, or with the Passover. You were redeemed. I married you at that time. And then he said, then the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. All right? And what did God do? He protected them. Let's see. That's in 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 19 to 20. And then we find another peculiar verse. I'm just going to give it to you. After Israel separated, and you had Judah over here, and Israel over here, with the Samaritans. We find a peculiar verse in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 3. One of the kings of Samaria came down sick, and so he inquires as one of the phony gods. And so I think it's Elijah there. And so he sends a message and says, are you acquiring at this false god because there's no God in Israel? Even though they fall into idolatry, God is saying, I'm still God. I'm still your God. I'm still there. I haven't left you. You left me. But I'm still here. I can still heal. I can still protect you. I can still save you. He's reminding him of his faithfulness, of his care for Israel. Let's take it verse 5. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? Now, he's referring to them while they're in captivity for 70 years. He says, did you go into captivity for 70 years for nothing? Was that all for nothing? And so, again, comparing scripture with scripture, let's take a look at Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 20 and 21. Again, guys, this book is just incredible. Let's take a look at 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 20 and 21. And it says here, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. So here's the group he's addressing, those who are in Babylon from 70 years. Where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. And that occurred in Daniel 5. And it says in 21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Amen. All right? Now, the place where it's mentioned at in Jeremiah is chapter 25 of Jeremiah, verses 11 and 12. Again, he tells them they're going to be in captivity for 70 years. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem on the day that Jerusalem was destroyed. All right, so he's given a prophecy. You guys are going to be in captivity 70 years. We find out when we read 2 Chronicles chapter 36. One of the reasons they're there is because they were keeping the Sabbath. And guys, when we study the Sabbath, we find in Exodus chapter 8, or chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. That was the fourth commandment. Keep the Sabbath holy.
This was specifically the land Sabbath that they were supposed to keep.
Right.
Every 7 years that they were supposed to keep this time.
Right. So, at any rate, though,
they were keeping the regular weekly Sabbath with a lot of exceptions, but they weren't giving the land the rest every seventh year. And that's over 490 years. So if you do the math, it comes out to 70
exactly.
Years of Sabbath. They were
70 years, exactly. Day. Exactly. That is correct. So, at any rate, though, the children of Israel had the first five books, but they had nothing else. And they weren't following the Word of God. They left the Word of God. And that's why when we're talking in the verses 11 to 15, God's calling his people to repentance. Again, he gives them a warning. I'm taking you guys out of Babylon. I'm bringing you back to Jerusalem. Keep my word. Don't forsake my word and get thrown out again. Which, of course, happened in 70 AD. Again, they had the book. Guys, we have the book. And it's very important. We try to stay in the book every day. We should try every day to have short accounts. We should try to be like Paul, who said, I die daily. We should try to carry out responsibilities. When we focus on our rights, we become rebellious. And it produces rebellion. When we focus on our responsibilities, it produces revival. If America wants to have revival among Christians, they need to start focusing on their responsibilities. All right? If you're a husband, what are your responsibilities to your family? If you're a wife, what are your responsibilities to the rest of the family? Same thing with the children. What are your responsibilities you're supposed to be? If you're a pastor, if you're a deacon, member of a church, what are your responsibilities? And I work on a farm. And guys, if you neglect one responsibility on the farm, the whole thing goes down. The whole thing goes down. The calves have to be fed twice a day at a certain time frame. If they're not fed, then you're going to have problems with the livestock. Same thing with the big cows. They have to be milked twice a day, including the Sabbath and Sunday. They have to be milked at those times. You can't forsake that time frame. There was this one person decided to take a shortcut and only milk half the cows, and then went on. At 2 in the morning, there was a big ruckus in the barn. And the owners had to get up and gather all the cows that weren't milked and milk them, because they wanted to be milked. Okay? And so they put a sign up about taking shortcuts.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay? You can't... Same thing with farming as far as, you know, planting the crops. You're not planting your corn, you guys, in the fall. You don't plant corn in the fall. You plant it in the springtime. Now, you plant winter wheat, you plant that in the fall. If you try planting your winter wheat in the springtime, it's not going to work. Everything follows the way it's supposed to work. And that's the same thing with our lives. There's certain things we're supposed to do at certain times, and that's how you're going to have revival. That's how you're going to maintain things. Let's take a look at the next verse here. Let's see. Oh, yeah. At the bottom of verse 5, in my name, continually, every day, is blasphemed. How about that? 70 years, God's name is blasphemed. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it wasn't blasphemed every day while they were in Canaan. And it doesn't necessarily just mean the people of Israel, but it means the enemies. The enemies could blaspheme. Where's your God now? You're wearing the thing around your neck. Where's your God now, huh? He's a blankety-blank God. He can't do anything for you, can he? All right? They blaspheme. And blaspheming again is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. That's the third commandment. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, in vanity. And again, you can connect that with the whole book of Ecclesiastes. The whole book of Ecclesiastes deals with vanity. Again, another great study. And then the vanity part, you pop that over to James chapter 1. And what happens when you have vanity? You leave the Lord. You leave the Lord.
Completely emptiness.
Yeah. Vanity, emptiness. That's what the mirror we look at. Vanity. That's why I say I look in the mirror and I go, you dirty dog, you. You know? I do not lift myself up just because I know something out of the book, guys, or just because I can make gospel tracks, and because I can, there's quite a few things I can do, but it's all the Lord. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't do it at all. I wouldn't even consider it. It's Him doing the will. It's Him doing the work. Let's take it to verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak, behold, it is I.
2 minutes.
Notice the phrase there, in that day. That is a great, great study for you right there. At this point of the verse, in that day, he's making again a reference to Revelation 19. In that day, when he shows up to protect Israel, at that point, 2 out of 3 Jews are going to be dead. Right now, I figured out there's 16 million Jews on the planet. The way things were going with Iran last night, who knows how the escalation is going to go. But guys, if we're that close to the end times, out of 16 million Jews, according to the Word of God, at least 10 million are going to die. What happened on October 7th was just a drop in the bucket, guys. Two-thirds, according to the prophet Zechariah, two-thirds are going to die. Two-thirds. That is horrible. Any way you look at it. Who knows what's going to happen here in the States? That is even scarier. Because the same group that's fighting them is over here. And they're scheming just like at all. If they can't get their way, they'll have a temper tantrum. And who knows what's going to happen. But these first six verses is God's promise. And His promises will all be finally carried out in Revelation chapter 19. At that time, He'll fulfill verse 1 here. The captivity will be taken off by verse 2. The redemption through the blood of Christ will be obvious at that point. And again, his promise to take care of Israel in verse 4, since the time of the Passover will be fulfilled. And verse 5, those that made them howl was already taken care of in Daniel chapter 5, but they'll be taken care of again at that time frame. And he says, they shall know in that day that I am He. And how are they going to know for sure that's Him on that day when He shows up? And we'll leave you with this. Zechariah 13:6. Let's go to Zechariah 13:6. We'll end there. Zechariah 13:6. And once I'll say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. They're going to see the scars. They're going to know, yeah, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's Him. They're going to know. What a book, guys. And again, it goes right back to the Blood Atonement. Goes right back to Passover. This whole book is just incredible how it all holds together. And the first six verses here, again, I was trying to share with you, God has given us a book not for information, but for transformation. The transformation takes place in this chapter. The first six verses dealt with this promise. How do we get transformed? By believing and trusting the promises that God gives to us. Verses 7 to 10 deals with His call to service, which will be picked up next week. And our service, our responsibility is to carry out the good news. That is our responsibility. And that will transform us. You do any form of trying to win someone to the Lord, you'll be transformed. And then last of all, verses 11 to 15, God's calling this people to repentance. The reason they were in captivity 70 years because they didn't repent. They did not repent. And His warning to us is stay away from the world, stay in the book, and follow Him. All right? Praise the Lord. And shame him on the devil. All right, Sean, if you don't mind closing us out with a word of prayer, brother.
Yes. Dear God, thank you for this wonderful day. And just the blessings you've been giving us here in this nation, despite what's been happening lately. We pray that you'll be with us during these days of uncertainty. We thank you for your word that Pastor John has been able to deliver to us today. And just we give thanks this day. Please be with us wherever we are this week, Lord. Amen.
All right, guys. See you in a bit.